today. Holy Spirit of making hearts vulnerable. I came here and I could feel the Holy Spirit. It's always different. It's impossible to make up or even predict how the Holy Spirit is going to move. And today I totally saw for sure in this place where I was standing. And again, and I tested my heart. I said, Father, take a look at my heart right now. Check me. Can I move? Can I be vulnerable? Can I be totally in your hands? Totally be elastic. And he said, I can only use the clay that's not hardened up. And he said, I can create only until the moment until we allow him to. We grow spiritually only to that level, to the level that we allow him to. To the level that we allowed him and stayed elastic. No, he will never reject you because he loves all the children. But it is sad that this is it. That's all you've reached in your life. And I always ask the Father, make me elastic. Make me so soft that your touch would change my form. You saw me like this yesterday, but Father, when I came into the hands of my Father again, you created me again because I'm always trying to be elastic. That's the most important. And the life of a Christian, to be able to be worked on and be elastic. A lot of people always after the glory, after the miracles. You know when you can reach that? When you're always in elastic condition. He can always use you. Today, I'd like to, you know, usually I say, I want to preach this sermon. Right now I'm starting to change in my form of beginning. I'm going to try to preach on a sermon that's called Who God Chooses. Who God Chooses. You know, my beloved ones, I've always been interested in people that are being used by God. I've always been interested in personalities that God used. And from the very childhood, I didn't understand much, and I was asking God these questions. I said, Father, what should I do in my life in order to be used by you? What should I do in my life to follow you? What do I need to say to you? How should I act in order to that I can do things that you want me to do? And you know, Father told me straight up. He said, it all depends on you. It all depends only upon you. Who God chooses. Why does He choose these people? Today I'd just like to talk about that. It's interesting. It's always been interesting. By what criteria does God choose people? You know, I don't understand why at the very childhood my heart was glued to Jesus. I didn't know Him. But something was just drawing me to His presence. This personality always drawed me, would draw me and pull me towards Him. At the very childhood, my mom can back this up. In my little area where I used to live, the apartments, nine-story apartments, where people would call me little preacher. I would go all nine stories. I'd knock on doors. Some places they let me in, and they and they fed me, and I would tell them about Jesus. I would just say, I love Jesus. You have to love Jesus. I didn't know. I didn't choose. It's not that I made this up or thought of doing this. It was just pulling me that way. At the very childhood, before I even gave my life to God, I want you guys to understand me. When I grown up, when I had tons of accidents and all kinds of things happened, and I finally dedicated my life to God. But at the very childhood, I was drawn by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand nothing. I couldn't tell a difference. But for some reason, I was running around all the doors and telling them about Jesus. Some people would laugh at me. They would call me names like Baptist and all these other names. But I didn't care about them. And then I ran into one place in the Bible when I grown up. When I started seriously seeking God, I said, my favorite Jesus, I love you so much that I want my life to be totally sold out to you. I promised Him that everything to a single thread would belong to Him. If He has a big future for me. At the very childhood, for some reason, dreamed. I saw tons of saved people. I saw hundreds of thousands of saved lives. And you know, I noticed that God chooses us because we one day chose Him. My beloved ones, forget about me, forget about the church, forget about everything that's going on in church. I want to ask you one question. What kind of relationship do you have with your favorite Jesus? When was the last time you were driving your car totally just full of tears, and you didn't even ask Him to come into your car, but He feels Himself so comfortable that He comes to you when He feels like it? You know, when I started catching myself on these kind of moments, I was just in shock. We were just relaxing with the kids. We went to the theater. We're sitting here watching some kind of a cartoon, and the glory of God comes down. I said, Father, I'm trying to watch a cartoon here. If you would know, Jesus is a personality. He just came and says, I just miss you. I can't even imagine. I said, Father, if in that day, when your presence leaves me, take me from this earth. If you would even know my heart, I hate everything compared to how much I love Jesus. I don't even care about your opinion, your money, your judgments on me. I have such a close relationship with Him that right now I can turn this microphone off, drop everything, and go to Him, get in my car, and I'll just drive off. And I don't need anything else besides Him. I don't even need no name, no popularity or nothing. Not the growth of church or success. I just need one thing. Can my favorite trust me? Can He trust me? This nation. Can He trust me so much that He would put His presence into my hands? You know, He only trusts to trust people to carry His fire. People who... It really touched me today. I'm a person... is not one of those people who quickly cry or get vulnerable, or I can't get touched by any kind of junk, any kind of war, anything. Only one thing, one personality is the Holy Spirit. If you would even know how much I love Him, to the point where I don't even care about what I have or what I lose. I have one dream, not to ever to lose His presence. Never. Some people are fighting for positions, for somebody needs somebody has to pour some dirt over somebody. And in this day, I'm sitting in the glory of God. And I totally care less. I'm just sitting there, and His love is covering me, and He's giving me a hug, saying, "Son, don't worry about it. I'm going to let you walk through this again, through this pain." Now, some of you want to become anointed. You want to live through the glory. You know, glory of God goes parallel with pain. You can't get something without losing some. You can't get to the next level without getting hurt something or someone in yourself. Life with God for me is a total sacrifice. Always sacrifice. I don't know why, but I don't want it. But He draws me so much that I'm ready to drop everything, but always to follow Him. Who God chooses? Those who choose Him. Could you in your life choose Him so powerfully, so strong, that no one will be able to take the place of Christ? Not your husband, not your wife, not money, not kids. Not too long ago, starter understands the words of Paul. He said, "All I had was everything that he had going for him. Everything I strive for is like nothing. Strive for one thing is to be in His glory. That's all I need. That's all I'm striving towards. If I see a bigger glory, I will leave the smaller glory because of the bigger glory. Even if someone is not going to go with me to the next glory. Even if someone will get out at this stop. I'll still go. I still know that there will be at least two more people that will still go with me." Amen. I'm seriously telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes to you and it touches you, you'll be crying, you'll be for one reason, because He touched you. How much do I love my God? You know, I love the first commandment, to love your God with all your mind, all your strength, and all your heart. Love Him totally. It's in a commanding tone. To love means you got to do something to love. That means you got to come into His presence and to just stand on it for Him to touch you. And do not leave out of your room until He touches you. You know where I grow? I don't grow in the service. I grow over there. When I come here, I'm already unrecognizable by some people. Because over there, I've grown up. That's why I pray to you. Do not get used to me like this or the way I was yesterday or the day before yesterday. Because I will always move and be elastically changing my form that God is changing me into. And you know, throughout the 16 years, I've never lost with God. I've lost in my things that I started. But when I'm with Him, it is dangerous for you to walk against me. You hear me? You didn't understand me. You get covered with the glory. Any kind of arrows flying, you get covered with glory. Jesus. I'm seriously telling you, I can't even start my sermon. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Exodus
33:11.
The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend, and that's where it just exploded me. If some person, some Egyptian who was born, who killed some guy, ran off, was a shepherd for 40 years, and he could, God took his heart so much that there was no more humbled man than him. You know, when people went against Moses, they couldn't stand. They would either die or would be covered with leprosy or something. They would get these problems for one simple reason. Be afraid of those people who do not protect themselves. That's the most dangerous people. Oh, Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young, listen carefully, but his young, a Joshua son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Oh, God. Do you know why God chose Joshua to become the next leader and the personality? Why did God choose Joshua? Even when Moses would leave the tent, someone was there, so taken over by this thing that he wouldn't leave the tent. It doesn't mean always have to go to church. I mean, where is your tent? Do you leave your tent? Do you even have a tent in your life? Oh, Jesus. Are you taking something for yourself? Today, God, the Lord is just leading this sermon calmly. And I'll tell you honestly, I know when He's leading. Sometimes He goes loud, and I can feel it. Sometimes He's doing it in a quiet whisper, but it changes your life. So you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how God's moving, whether it's in a storm or a wind or a total peace. The most important is that your heart is changing, and you're going to walk out of here. Something in your life gets broken off. He makes a crack somewhere. He hasn't totally made your heart vulnerable, but you got a little crack. And His glory is pouring into it, and you're sitting there, and you're saying, Lord, how good does this feel? Jesus, you know how come I'm like this? Because I don't leave my tent. I simply do not leave my tent. I'm in love with my tent because, you know, Joshua, listen to me carefully. He did not need to be bought and to buy something. To buy Moses. He did not need to seek some kind of benefits to become the next leader. He did not have to like serve and act like something to get it. All he needed is just to stay in a tent. God chose him for one reason. Hey, Alan. Nick is saying to bring the translator because you gotta go. You got that? His servant of Moses. Someone chose. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He chose to be Moses, the servant of Moses. He did not know that he was going to be the next leader. When God took Moses, he said, next one's going to be Joshua. Do you know what I need in my life? For God to say about me. I don't need to give him my CDs. Don't need to be give him the CNN and turn to the radio. Let them, God tell them about me and you. And when he starts telling them about you, the whole world would know you for some reason. Not because you're smart or you finish some kind of a school, but because you do not leave the tent. Oh, Jesus. What kind of relationship do you have? What can the Father say right now about you? You know, sometimes I'm in a situation where they ask me to testify or to speak. And some people, they usually warn me not to bite anybody, not to say nothing hard, nothing loud. Just simply speak a regular sermon. And you know, I already see that these people will not go far. Because they already... What if God tells me to tear everybody apart? Then what's going to happen? How can I promise you what to preach about if I don't even know what I'm going to preach about? But I'm going to say about what he tells me to say. What kind of people does God choose? Who does God choose? If you have a suffix like a no, I'm going to listen to no. I'm going to pray no. But I'm going to walk with you, but what? When I said to God, take away my suffix, but I'm going to walk after you no matter where you go. Because of you, I will lose everything. Wife, kids, mom. I will lose everything. And I will sacrifice everything in my life because of you. But there is no but in my life. And you should not have a but. But is what tortures your sermon and your dream. And you will never be sustained. Because in your life, there's a but. Trust me. When I say these words, I'm not just saying words. My wife totally knows that this is true. There is nothing in my life and no one more important than my God. You hear me? Until the moment that he gave me her, I already had him. Some people sitting here saying, I'll choose God if, but if he restores me, I will walk after God. Even if nothing's going to be restored, I will still follow him. If he never heals me, he never changed my situation, I'm so in love with him, then nothing is impossible to separate me. There is a but. There is no but. It's not there. I'm following you at all times, every day, not looking at anything. Our Christianity is in problems because we always, a lot of us, I'm not saying everybody, have a butt. Who does God choose? You know, one time I was flying an airplane, an ordinary trip, and I have time in the airplane to think, to listen to 12 hours of flight, serious time from one continent to another. And God started speaking to me. They're just trying to shut my mouth for a while and saying, you shouldn't say this. More people will listen to you. You'll have a church that will grow twice as fast if you don't say this and that. And you know, I'm flying, I'm asking God a question. I'm always checking everything. I said, Lord, what if they're right? What if I'm doing something that really, if I took it away, would bring more fruit? And the Holy Spirit straight up tells me things to my heart. He said, son, why do politicians, they come out their political position and talk about everything and tell the truth? Politicians, they uncover everything in the country. All, everything that's ever happened, everything that wasn't paid for, they bring everything to light. One country or another. Every politician could come out and just straight up tell the whole nation to the eyes what he thinks. Have you asked the question why nobody closes their mouth? Because, and then just another politician comes out and shows another side of it. Holy Spirit keeps telling me. Why? Son, how come a doctor can straight up be honest and totally tell you where you have a problem? Why? You come to an appointment and a doctor tells you, you have this and that. If you don't take this, you're going to have a serious complications. The doctor gives you a real diagnosis. You hate this diagnosis, including this doctor. Why did this doctor, you're saying he brought me news. No, he just told you the problem that you're already in. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear any kind of politicians, any kind of diagnosis. Everything's fine. Let's close our eyes and our ears. It's easier to live this way. Oh, no. You can definitely count on me. Holy Spirit told me, when you came to the doctor, to his office, he would do an x-ray on your teeth, and he said, if your teeth are not going to get fixed, you're going to lose them. Huh? I don't want to go through pain. Well, then it'll be real painful. And then you won't be able to eat with anything. Why? Does any doctor can tell you the truth when he wants to say it, diagnose it, and nobody even tries fighting this? I said, Father, because he's a doctor. And he says, where is my leaders that can diagnose my church? Everybody's hiding like rats. Nobody can put their name in the center and not to be afraid to be embarrassed and spit on and diagnose the church that isn't going anywhere, that needs the fire of the Holy Spirit. Why? I'm flying an airplane. The Holy Spirit keeps going. He says, son, how come any trainer that trains his football team, he can get his team together and give him such a kick and explain to him where how to play. Any trainer will tell you what's wrong with your feet? You want to be a football player? This is what you got to do. Look how this guy does it. Why? Any trainer will tell you everything he wants to tell you. That has to do with the whole team and everything he sees. And I'm looking at the trainer. They're real brave people. They say we will win in this season because I know my team. And they win not because he said, well, you miss a couple of times. It's fine. God loves you. You something happened and you fell asleep a couple of times. You didn't go to a couple of practices. You're fine. You're still on a team. Tell me, where would this football team be? How come a lot of pastors and leaders, they know the truth and don't speak it? You know the truth. How come you don't say it? You don't like that our generation is going to hell in a basket on wheels. Our youth is devoured by the devil. I'm not even talking about unchristian youth. What are we going to do about this? Because when I was watching, we don't have a future if someone doesn't do something and doesn't diagnose properly and honestly. Who does God choose? You want Him to choose you? Do you know that He will tell you to do what you definitely don't want to do? Do you know that He's going to say to you, remember the prophet, leaders in the Old Testament. Sometimes they would pray to God, do not send me. He said, wherever I send you, you're going to go. And what I tell you to say, you will say. Can you right now say, Father, no matter what would cost me, truth, in your truth, I will say it. Without caring about society or friends or anything. I will say it. And you know, I was sitting in this airplane and the Lord was pointing to these categories of people, doctors, trainers, politicians. And you're looking at, like, on the channel where they got comedians, they're seeking the real truth and they just turn it into a joke. You know why I have a sense of humor? Not today, of course. A lot of times. In order for it to be swallowable, easier to swallow. Drink a little water with it. And keep moving forward. I just want to ask you a question. Let's be honest. Those people who are walking with me, who wants to have a doctor that's a liar? Raise your hand. Raise your hand those who want to have a doctor as a liar. And he tells you a diagnose, and he says, you're like a dog, but you have a week left to live. Your organs are like a baby. Everything's perfect, no problems at all. How come nobody raised their hand? You know that majority of leaders that we have in churches in Christ are liars. Oh, how can you have enough guts to, what kind of right do you have to say this? Because a lot of times they tell me what to preach and what not to preach. They try to teach me and walk around the truth. They collect everything to make one simple thing, to close your mouth. But he only becomes louder and bigger. For some strange reason, they want to take you off from television, and they pray to the presidents of the television company to take us off. And there's more people that buy our products and receive letters from all. They publish us in magazines, and there's thousands and thousands of cities. You can ask Allah. There's always asking permission for us to be spread. Tell me, who made all this up? Why? For some strange reason, this is starting to take place. It's practically impossible to listen to me. Sometimes I listen to myself, I'm saying, oh wow, what's going on? Who of you wants a trainer that's a liar? Or who wants a person that took him to a place to learn how to sing, and a person who you know, the elephant didn't just step on the ear, but in the whole head. And this person, they're trying to teach him how to sing. And this person's like, the teacher takes money and said, we will teach you, he will sing like a bird. And he's like, and made up his own notes. Which one of you wants to take your child to that kind of teacher? Who wants to take him to a trainer that's going to tell him, your child is just talented, but there's nothing. It's easier for him. He would have been better off singing. I don't want that. Why? How come? No matter where we go, we're seeking the truth, sometimes painful truth, but let them tell us the truth right now. Why do we react? React harshly to the truth that's coming from the pulpit, or why go against? Well, let the church take a nap. Okay, take extra money. Bless everybody. Pray a little bit. Be happy, brothers and sisters. I don't want to have anyone as a liar, including pastor in my life, including leaders. I want everything to be fresh for me to know everything. Some people say, they probably hurt you in the childhood. Where do you get all this? You had a hard childhood, huh? I had an interesting childhood. It made me strong. I have an interesting relationship with God. Most interesting, I watch what? How can you make it so that even your enemies would listen to you regularly? What would the pastor need to do? Not only your friends, there are thousands around the world, all your enemies, to a single one, would regularly go on your website and write comments. You're going to hell, Brother Andre. You're from down below. They listen to everything. They don't miss nothing. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. He was still a little boy. Today we're talking about who God chooses. We always come to the front, we say, we want God to touch us. We want Him to change something in our life. We want some for God to start moving. My beloved ones, same as in the beginning and now, you know, being used by God is moved parallel with pain. Listen to me real carefully. If you want to have God, you must lose something in your life. I don't know what it is. I don't know who. But my beloved ones, Jesus lost. Everybody lost. Everybody who followed God, listen, read, they lost. Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 to 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before the sperm even touched the thing, the mom and dad hasn't even met. I already knew you. What? Jesus? Right here, it's hard to understand. It's acceptable not to understand. It's how can you know me? I wasn't even there. I'm not even there. Listen. You hear me? I'm not even there. He already knew you. Before Isaac or Jacob. And what was his brother? Esau. They haven't even been able to tell from left and right, but one of them God already disliked. How could you know me before I'm even there? Let's keep moving. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And he said, O sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Oh, Jesus. That's who he uses. He uses those who don't know how to talk. I don't know how to do anything. And for some reason, I do everything. A lot of people finish schools and colleges, universities, just to learn how to stand, how to act right, how to be acting proper and be for a nice tie and your figure and shoulders and everything. But they don't know one simple thing. They don't have one most powerful quality. Do you understand me? My success has to do with my no knowledge. As soon as I start to know, God stops using me. For some people, that's a serious level. You have to rewind the CD a couple of times to understand this. And I said, O sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. To rescue you, that means you will be in problems that you're going to need to be rescued from. Amen? We think that Christianity, being with God, is to walk around all the problems. No. David writes, when I'm going to be going through the valley, the shadow of death, you're going to be with me. When there's going to be arrows going to be against me, that are going to be made against me, and they will be shot at. They will just miss, church. Don't think that. My whole life, there's been arrows from one way or another. from one direction and I'll tell you the secret. They still haven't hit it. But this isn't even about me. This has to do with how much do you know Him? How open is the heavens in your life, and He's moving? Who are you as a personality judging another? Who are you? What are you, a zero? Who are you to tell somebody how to live? You know who can grade people's work? Those who are called teachers and finished school. You can judge, you can grade me when you went through everything that I went through, and even a lot, passed me up by a lot. The only person that can grade is person who can be called a teacher, who finished school. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, this is a dangerous thing. When He touches your mouth, oh, you're going to be saying something. You know that he Jeremiah was would come to the kings and the places. He would prophet to those who didn't want to listen to Him and did not expect Him. He was writing His things and send these letters to those who would tear Him apart and destroy Him and burn Him. They don't want to hear it. But somebody's got to say it. Which one of you wants to be chosen by God? You got to know one thing. You're going to have to say everything. What God tells you. God said to him, everything I tell you to say, you're going to say. You're not going to choose. This I'll say. Well, this is, will definitely possess the... why should I need problems in my prophetic career? I'm just starting off. I need to get normal, you know, always be in style. Always be a prophet in first place. God, can I like, you know, edit this revelation a little bit? No, you can't edit the revelation, because what you edited, that's what He wants you to say. That's exactly what He wants me to say. Who does God choose? Those who are going to be saying the truth without looking at anything, at no one. The truth. Strange thing, for some reason, it usually creates enemies. You notice that? For some reason, I don't want enemies. I say the truth. Simple truth. And I get enemies. You want to say the truth? Who wants to say the truth? Raise your hand. Keep holding it. You hold it up. I want to see. Amen. You know, you're going to have enemies, all of you. I can guarantee you, you can't run from that. Truth always divides things in half. There's people who want to hear it, and those people who totally don't want to hear nothing. Your relationship with God, how are they? How is it? Can you even... Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. And his career went down. Can you imagine? You can't choose. Everything's got to be said. And it just had to come out. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down. Oh, interesting service. But the Lord, well, He's love, right? What about this quality of love? To spank somebody in the butt? There is no fear in love. Oh, yeah, there is a little bit. When they spank you in the butt, you get a little scared, huh? In love, complete love has a quality as a punishment. Who loves their children? You're always going to discipline them, amen? Punishment is not torture, it's discipline. And my family has to be in order. Sometimes there's more brains in the butt than there is in the head. Because you tell them and they don't understand, you hit them and they do understand everything. I noticed one wonderful thing that was created is a butt. A couple of times and that's it. Everything's wonderful. Listen carefully. See, today I appoint you over nations and kings to uproot and tear down, to destroy, overthrow, to build and to plant. That's what we give you. This is a package from Jesus. What they gave us, what they gave us. Destroy and overthrow. Lord, I want to preach the power, anointing, fire. And you have to lose, destroy, tear apart. Lord, I don't want that. I am called for peace. You want to be used by God? You know that you're going to have to destroy something. You're going to have to go against something. You're going to have to say the truth. And it's going to hit, but it's going to change. Jesus never tells the truth, so that after this truth, not to change a person and get him closer to him. He simply needs someone who will have enough guts to destroy and to overthrow, to tear down and uproot. And then I like this, to build and to plant. Well, Jesus, can I just take these bad callings? I just want to build and to plant. I am a peaceful person in the body of Christ. What? You're a peaceful person? You're just, if you're a, you're just like a lamb and a lion, you're going to be doing everything in this kingdom. There's going to be people healing over there. And over there, they're going to be torn apart. Why? Because God uses you. You can be in just one way. What is this? That means that when you want to be used by God, be ready to tell the truth. And be ready to do the fact that not everyone's going to listen to it. Who does God choose? He chooses those who tell the truth and dream to see power. You know that popularity of Jesus, it would go down every time. Every time, like the one time he went to the temple with the whip. Imagine Jesus came to church and gave everybody a whooping. Oh, it's a non-loving Lord. I needed a pacifier, but here they go. Jesus knows what you need. He'll give you a pacifier later. Let's deal with the other spot. Jesus. Well, do you want to be used by God? We'll see. Did you take some in for yourself? Let's stand up and just say, tell Jesus thank you for what He's doing in our church, in our hearts. because He's going to be using you no matter what. He's going to use you. Father, I thank You. My favorite, I believe that this short revelation is going to bring somebody in order. Maybe someone in this place will understand that to serve, that means to do everything that You say to do, and not just those parts that You like. A lot of times, the honest, truthful servants of Christ, they're going to do what they don't feel like doing. And they're going to have to go where they don't want to go. I ask You, my favorite, choose in this place, choose those who in reality are devoted to You, who understood today's message. And I know that it was directed to some. I believe, Father, that our lives, they're going to inherit the character and the attitude and the meaning. Our lives are going to come in order when we do what You tell us to do. I'm following You, my favorite. My whole life is dedicated to You. My heart, my mind, my destiny, my spirit, soul, and body and is sold to You. I don't belong to myself and never did. I give myself for Your usage. I belong to You. I thank You, my favorite. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You for everything. Hallelujah. Give Him the glory, church.